A Merry Christmas Eve to you, and we welcome you to our Christmas Eve service here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, and we are looking forward not only to Christmas, but looking forward to this time together tonight. Just want to read one verse as we start. We'll refer back to it later, but it's Luke chapter 2 and verse 6, speaking of Joseph and Mary going to Bethlehem, and it says, "So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered." The days were completed. I'm going to ask you to turn to 124 in your red hymnal. As we think about the days being completed, there were many days before that completion, before that fulfillment, looked for, longed for. And this song and the next one we will sing both speak of that. Number 124, "Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus."
Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set Thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in Thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth Thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born Thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever. Now Thy gracious kingdom bring, by Thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, by Thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to Thy glorious throne."
Amen. As we think back to that Christmas Eve so many years ago, when the Lord Jesus was born, as we think of those people waiting, longing, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. Number 123 speaks of that as well, so I'll ask you to turn to this and we'll sing verse 1, 2, and 4. Verse 1, verse 2, and verse 4 of number 123. O come, Emmanuel.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine hand. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night.
ask our brother Renji Silas if he would ask the Lord's blessing on us this evening.
Father, we bow down in thy presence yet again this evening, thanking you once again for the abundant mercy and thy faithfulness to each of us. Thank you, Father, even at this time of year when around the world people remember the advent of thy Son in some form or fashion, and that thou hast also given us this opportunity to come together as a company of thy saints, separated, to spend some time in singing, in meditation, in contemplating as to what it really meant for thy Son to take on human flesh and to come into the sin cursed earth. Once again, O Lord, we thank you for having taken human flesh and come down to this earth to search sinful men like us, and finally to die on our behalf on that cross of Calvary. Therefore, this evening, even as we sit together, O Lord, we pray that thou would be in our midst and that we would be gladdened, even as we sing these songs of praise even unto thee. We pray that thou would bless our gathering together, even as we ask in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. What a privilege to come together as our brother prayed to think about the Lord Jesus coming to this earth. I'm going to ask Hannah Bertrand if she would come and share a piano solo with us, the first Noel. Thank you, Hannah. I wonder about those shepherds there that night. Surely they had heard the prophecies. I wonder if any of them were thinking about that night. Were they longing? Were they looking for the Messiah to come, that the King of Israel would be born? I'm going to ask Harvey Shelley if he would come up. We've got several readings that will be shared at different points tonight from a booklet by Billy Graham called Christmas, the Father's Gift. And so the first reading will be shared now.
Christmas is not just a date on the calendar. It is the celebration of the event that set heaven to singing, an event that gave the stars of the night sky a new brilliance. The Hebrew prophets believed that God had made the world. But all through the centuries, they seem to have been saying, I wish that God would become personal. And through the centuries, God gave them the assurance that he would. This is precisely what he did that first Christmas night. He became personal in Bethlehem. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. At a specific time and at a specific place, a specific person was born. And that person was God, a very God, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful and glorious hope we have because of that first Christmas. The King is promised. 800 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah declared, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light," Isaiah 9:2. It was the promise of the coming of Christ and the light that was to dawn upon the world. It heralded the entrance of God into human history. It promised heaven descending to earth. It was as though a trumpeter had taken his stand upon the turrets of time and announced to a despairing, hopeless, and frustrated world the coming of the Prince of Peace. Unto us, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah 9.
Long awaited. Again, those shepherds that we mentioned, number 135, those shepherds, were they watching? Were they waiting? Were they wondering? Well, we can't go back there, but we know, as just has been read to us, that the promise was there. That the Savior would come. Let's sing several verses of 135. We'll do 1, 2, and 5 on this one. 1, 2, and 5 of 135. Let's do 1, 3, and 5. 1, 3, and 5.
While shepherds watch their flock by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around, and glory shone around. To you in David's sound estate, his horn of David.
Shelley to come, and he's going to share a special number with us.
Okay, I need to explain this song a little bit because it won't make sense if I don't. It's a song that's loosely based around the book The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is written as a picture of the gospel. And so in that book, if you're not familiar with it, the land of Narnia is, because of this witch that's there, the whole land is in winter, and it's been winter for hundreds of years, and which pictures our life in sin, and all of the people and the animals there are looking forward to the day that Aslan would come back. And when Aslan comes back, the winter would end, there would finally be Christmas, and spring would come. And so they're all waiting for the day that this Christmasless winter would be over. And then he eventually comes and dies for one of the characters, symbolizing how Christ has come to die for us. So the song starts off talking about it talks about how it's winter, and at first we're content with winter, but then as we realize our need for a Savior, we look forward to the day that Christmas would come, or that Jesus would come and save us. So that's what the song's about, so keep that in mind as I sing it.
It's always nice to look out the window and see those very first few flakes of snow. And later on, we can go outside and create the impression of an angel that just fell from the sky. When February rolls around, I'll roll my eyes, turn a cold shoulder to these even colder skies. And by the fire, my heart, it heaves a sigh for the green grass waiting on the other side. It's always winter, but never Christmas. It seems this curse just can't be lifted. And in the midst of all this ice and snow, our heart stays warm 'cause they are filled with hope. It'd be so nice to look out the window and see the leaves on the trees begin to show. The birds would congregate and sing a song of birth, a song of newer things. The wind would come and the sun would shine. I'd go outside and I'd squint my eyes. But for now I will simply just withdraw, sit here and wish for this world to thaw. It's always winter, but never Christmas. It seems this curse just can't be lifted. Yet in the midst of all this ice and snow, our hearts stay warm 'cause they are filled with hope. And everything it changed overnight. This dying world, you brought it back to life. And deep inside, I felt things shifting. Everything was melting away, oh, away. And you gave us the most beautiful. days. 'Cause when it's always winter but never Christmas, sometimes it feels like you're not with us. But deep inside our hearts, we know that you are here, and we will not lose hope.
Thank you, Joseph. Appreciate that. Based on the line, the witch and the wardrobe, that's good. Looking forward and knowing that there's always hope with the Lord Jesus, how thankful we are that their hopes were fulfilled and our hopes are being fulfilled even now. I'm going to ask Brian Westcott and Carrie Cottle to come up. We have mentioned several times about the prophecies of the Old Testament that spoke of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And of course, there's many, many prophecies speaking of his life and his death, his resurrection, his return. But they're going to read several. Brian's going to read the Old Testament prophecy, and Carrie's going to read the New Testament fulfillment.
Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel."
Matthew 1:22-23, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God with us.'"
Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting."
Matthew 2:1-6, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'"
Jeremiah 31:15, "Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children, because they are no more."
The fulfillment, Matthew 2:16-18. "Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which had been determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforting, because they are no more.'"
Hosea 11:1, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son."
The fulfillment, "When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I have called my son.'"
Thank you, Brian and Carrie. Appreciate that very much. Reminders of the Old Testament prophecies, just a few of them, fulfilled in the Lord Jesus and his coming to this earth. They were watching. The prophets were speaking and reminding the people to be looking, to be watching, to be anticipating, to be excited about
what God was going to do. And we see that God keeps his word. I'm going to ask our brother John Angel to come up and ask you to turn to number 127. And John's going to come up and share some thoughts on this song. And after that, we'll sing it together. John? Very much. I apologize. You can stay up here, John, since you're this close. Sarah, are you close? I'm sorry. I already had my thoughts what I was going to say, and I skipped right over it. Sarah Bertrand's going to play Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and I was thinking about the anticipation. I don't know if the shepherds were really even thinking about it, but I know that the angels of heaven were. They were looking forward to this special time. And she's going to play Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Sarah, I apologize for missing my own notes here. But we thank the Lord for the angels who did know the prophecies and were looking forward to the birth of the Lord Jesus. And now we'll move ahead, John.
Thank you, Mark. Well, this time of year, people make room in their busy schedules for all kinds of things, many evil things, drunkenness and carousing and things like that. But mostly just things that are not necessarily evil, just things of the world. But most people, sadly, don't make room in their schedules for Jesus. God incarnate, God with us, someone's already read. And of course, the whole point at Christmas time is to praise him for entering into this world to show us how to live and then to save us. So it's too bad that it's only at this time of year that we sing. I think I counted there 25 or 30 songs in the red hymnal that we call Christmas carols, songs about his first coming, his first advent. tonight let's think for a few minutes, and then we'll sing one of these. Number 127, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne. But first, a little background. Three of the four Gospels tell about God's coming down to this earth and taking on flesh. We just heard being read a lot from Matthew's Gospel. It focuses on the contrast between the evil King Herod, we already heard that, and the harmless little king-to-be, the baby Jesus. And the people of that time, just like today, were one day soon going to have to choose whether they're going to make room in their hearts for Jesus as the Messiah, their king, or were they going to serve King Herod and his Roman masters? Sadly, of course, most people in those days made the same choice that most people today do. They had no room, had no time for Jesus. John's Gospel records this sad fact in sort of a theological way. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. And of course, Luke's Gospel gives us a blow-by-blow factual account of how Joseph and Mary arrived in Bethlehem, but there was no room for them in the inn. Now, you'd think, though, that since both of them came from that lineage, that was their ancestral home, at least Joseph's, that some relative would have given them a room. But no. No room was made for them. So it's almost as if God, at the very moment of his entry into the world in flesh, was saying, you make room for so many things in your lives, but you don't make room for me. And 3 decades later, as the Lord Jesus stood before Pilate, his own people deserted him. His close disciples, we all know, they all fled, or at least in the case of John, sort of sheepishly watched from a distance as he was crucified. So it's a sad statement. From the very first of his life on this earth, he came into his own, and his own received him not. So Emily Elliott wrote this hymn, number 127, about this passage. You'll see there in the superscription. She was a daughter of a pastor in England in the 1800s. She never married, but she did a lot of collections of hymns. You'll notice that it contrasts Jesus' magnificence in heaven and the way that he's exalted there with how he lived here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, that's ourselves, through his poverty might be rich. And of course, Philippians 2, 7, we all know it says, He made himself of no reputation. And Jesus himself said, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus himself made that statement. So, there's no room. There was no room in the inn. No room in people's busy schedules. No room in people's heart. As true today as it was then. So let's think about that as we sing number 127. There are four verses that you can maybe cut out number 3 if you want to, but maybe there'll be someone here tonight who will hear these verses and they'll make room for the Lord Jesus, especially because, look at verse 5, the last verse, because the hymn changes from our making room in our hearts for Jesus to this wonderful truth that Jesus is in heaven making room for me, making room for you with him. And he's coming soon for those who trust him. It's a beautiful hymn. And notice at the top, he came unto his own and his own received him not. John 1:11. But praise God, good talking. For the next verse, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's make room for Jesus tonight. Number 127.
Thank you, John. We'll take your advice on that. We'll just leave out number 3, which we could sing them all, but we'll sing 1, 2, 4, and 5, number 127. We'll meditate on these words. Rebecca Roten's going to come now and share a piano solo. What Child Is This? And she will be followed by her father, Charles, who will play a trumpet solo.
like to share a medley of a few songs that remind us of Christ's birth. The first speaks of the hills of Judea, where it was quiet and dark, and all of a sudden there was a light. The angels announced Jesus' birth. The second talks about how Christmas goes on even in the city, in the country, through the entire world. Even if they don't think about Christ, they can't help it because Christ is the first part of the word Christmas. The third talks about how Jesus will come back again one day. Often we use this song during the Christmas season just to remind us that Jesus has come and will come to earth. And the final will be talking about how the evergreen tree reminds us of the life that Jesus gives us through his Son, through his God, through his Son.
Thank you, Rebecca and Charles. Appreciate that. Again, turning our minds toward the Lord Jesus. We continue to meditate on his birth. I'm going to ask Ezra Walls to come up, and he's going to continue with the readings from Billy Graham's booklet, Christmas, the Father's Gift.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born of you will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Luke 1:26-38. One evening in Jerusalem, I looked out my hotel window and saw the lights of Bethlehem in the distance. For a long time I stood there and meditated on the events that had taken place over 2,000 years ago and which have transformed and changed our world. I thought about the angel Gabriel. He came to Mary, who was no more than a teenager, and said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have now found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Luke 1:30-31. At first Mary was fearful and deeply disturbed. Here she was, a virgin, engaged to a godly man by the name of Joseph, yet she was to be made pregnant supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. People would talk, shame could be attached to it, and Joseph might even reject her. But Mary, by faith, said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." One of the greatest demonstrations of faith in all of the Bible was Mary's answer to the angel, accepting God's will for her life, no matter the cost.
Thank you, Ezra. I'm going to ask Anna Shelley and Ashley Shelley and Caitlin Metz to share a special number with us, Breath of Heaven. And after that, Brother Joe Savina will come up and share another reading with us.
For the mercy of Oh, no.
Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me, breath of heaven. Breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took to him his wife. This is Matthew 1:18-24. In the scriptures, we are given a little glimpse of Mary and Joseph before Jesus was born. They lived in the hill country of Galilee. Joseph was a religious man, and Mary gives evidence of a thorough knowledge of the scriptures, even though she was just a teenager. Joseph was contracted to marry Mary, and in that time, being engaged was almost as strong a commitment as being married. I think we give too little attention to Joseph. He is called a just man, Matthew 1:19. Which means he obeyed the will of God. It also includes the connotation of sympathy and kindness. It indicated his devotion both to God and to Mary. Then Mary was found to be with child. Put yourself in Joseph's place.
imagine his thoughts, his suspicions about the girl to whom he was engaged. According to ancient law, Mary should have been put to death. But Joseph did not want to have any part of that kind of punishment. So he decided to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about these things, God's angel appeared to him in a dream to give the prospective bridegroom an explanation of the situation. "Joseph, son of David," said the angel, "do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." What faith it took on Joseph's part to believe that message and to trust. He put away his suspicions. He believed God and was married to Mary. Like Mary, he said, "Yes, Lord, regardless."
Joseph. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you reading that. Thank you, trio. I'm going to ask Joseph and Caitlin if they would come up and share a song. And after they sing for us, we're going to ask Amin K. Haddad if he would come up and share some thoughts.
Oh, as the Christian world, or rather Christians all over the world, are celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us remember that before the Son of God became the incarnate babe of Bethlehem, and before he relinquished his sovereignty to become a man, we are told that all the earth was filled with his glory. The angels praised him in reverence. The harps of the myriads of cherubim and seraphim continually thrilled with his praise. He was rich. Behold him sitting upon his throne and declaring all sufficiency, for the cattle on 1,000 hills are his, and all the hidden treasures of gold. His are the pearls that the diver cannot reach, and the precious things on earth are his. Therefore, let us not forget that he is self-existent. He has no beginning of days, neither end in years. He is immortal, invisible, the only wise God, our Savior. And now, on the very first Christmas day, the infinite has become an infant. He upon whose shoulders the universe does hang, hangs at his mother's breast. He who created all things has now become so weak that he must be carried by a woman. The angels who knew him in his riches now behold his poverty, yet he for our sake became poor. Where does the newborn king sleep? He did not have the best room in Caesar's palace, nor a cradle of gold prepared for him. He did not have a pillow on which to rest his head, only a bunch of straw. Where the ox fed in the stable, there the Savior lies in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes of the children of poverty. He does not rest long there. All of a sudden, mother must carry him into Egypt. He goes there and becomes a stranger in a strange land. When he comes back, see him that made the worlds handle a hammer and the nails, assisting his father in the trade of a carpenter. Never was there a poorer man than Christ. He was the prince of poverty. Look at his dress. It is woven from the top throughout the garment of the poor. As for his food, he sometimes did hunger and always was dependent upon the charity of others for the relief of his wants. He who scattered the harvest over the broad acres of the world had not sometimes wherewithal to satisfy the pangs of hunger. He who dug the springs of the oceans and the rivers and the streams sat upon a well and said to a Samaritan woman, "Give me to drink." He rode no chariot. He walked his weary way with sore feet over the rocks of Galilee. He had nowhere to lay his head. He looked upon the fox as it hurried to its burrow, and the fowl as it went to its nesting place. And he said, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but I, the Son of Man, have not where to lay my head." He who had once been waited on by the angels becomes the servant of servants, takes a towel, girds himself, and washes his disciples' feet. He who once was honored with the hallelujahs of the ages is now spit upon and despised. He who was loved by his father and had abundance of the wealth of affection could say, "He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." Follow him along the Via Dolorosa until at last you meet him among the olives of Gethsemane. See him sweating great drops of blood. follow him to the pavement of Gabbatha. See him pouring out rivers of blood beneath the cruel whips of Roman soldiers. What might of misery and love there must have been in the Savior's heart when he was spit upon by the men he created. When the eyes he himself had filled with vision looked on him with scorn. And when the tongues to which he himself had given utterance hissed and blasphemed him. Follow him to the cross of Calvary. See him nailed there. Mark his poverty. So poor that when he asked for water, they gave him vinegar to drink. So poor that his unpillowed head is banded with thorns in death. Christ became poor, yet for our sake we have become rich. He loved us. The reason why Christ died was that we, through his poverty, might be rich. With his love, he gave all he had, even his life for us. He redeemed us. He redeemed us to God by his blood. The babe of Bethlehem became poor from his riches that our poverty might become rich out of his poverty. To him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, be glory and honor forevermore. This is the Savior born as the babe of Bethlehem in a manger on the very first Christmas day over 2,000 years ago.
Ask Jordan and Shelley to come up. Thank Joseph and Caitlin for sharing Silent Night with us, and our brother Amin for so eloquently presenting the stoop of the Lord Jesus as he came to this earth. Coming down to the end now, ask Jordan to share with us, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Angels we have heard on high sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply echoing their joyous strain. Glory in eggshells these days, glory in eggshells these days. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be? Which inspire your heavenly song? Glory in eggshells these days, oh, glory in eggshells these days. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Thank you, Jordan. Thousands of years, people who believed God had been waiting, the angels in anticipation, even the creation groaning, because I know it's still groaning now. The days were completed that she should be delivered. And Mary brought forth her firstborn son, laid him in a manger. His name was called Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. You came here tonight desiring to meditate on the Lord Jesus, that one who was promised and who did come, who came to live but also came to die a substitutionary death, to take our sins on himself, God becoming flesh and going to the cross of Calvary to die for us. And now we anticipate his return. What a difference that should make in our lives, not just on Christmas Eve, not just on Christmas Day, not just on Sunday, but every day. If you're here and you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, what an opportunity. The gift again is offered. Maybe the last time that the gift will be offered to you. None of us know. But you can receive that gift tonight, trusting the Lord Jesus alone for forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. He will forgive you. He has died. He has taken the punishment. He has paid the penalty price. He has done that work. The days were completed for her to be delivered, and she gave birth. And the time was right. God sent forth his son. And as he hung upon that cross as an adult, he said, "It is finished. The debt is paid in full." He rose again. God put his stamp of approval upon that, and all who will believe on the Lord Jesus will be saved, made a new creation in the Lord Jesus. Wish you a Merry Christmas, and thank you for being here tonight. We'll close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the time that we've spent together this evening. Father, listening as songs have been played and sung, which have reminded us of the coming of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the readings and the thoughts that have been shared, the scriptures. Father, we just praise you that you are seeking to draw us to your Son, not only in his birth, not only in his death, but also, Father, in his resurrection and in his place now, there at your right hand. We have sung that he left his throne, but we thank you that he is back at your right hand, exalted. Father, those of us who know you through faith in him, we rejoice tonight in the coming of your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we look forward to his return again for us. Father, those here tonight that have not received the free gift of salvation, that gift that is not to be obtained by human effort in any way, but is truly to be received by faith, those who have not received that gift, Father, we shudder to think of them when the Lord Jesus returns. We pray that tonight they would receive him as Savior. Father, we pray, Father, for each one who does know you, Lord, that our hearts will be focused on the Savior. And that, Father, that will impact the way that we live our lives, the choices that we make. May we be submitted to you as were Mary and Joseph, and even more so your son, who said, "Not my will, but your will
be done. May that be the cry of our hearts at Christmas and every day. And we give you thanks in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Merry Christmas. Enjoy some fellowship. Thank you.